As you're able, if you'll stand, we're going to read God's Word. Make a little note. There was a misprint in the bulletin, which is my fault and no one else's. We're going to read those passages from Matthew in the opposite order in which they are listed. And the passage in Matthew chapter 21, we're only going to read four verses to 32, 28 through 32. So this is found on page 1050 in the Pew Bible. It's Matthew 21. Verses 28 to 32, this is the parable of the two sons. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." And he answered, "I will not." But afterward, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same, and he answered, "I go, sir," but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him." And flipping forward, just eight pages, to Matthew 26, verse 39, just the one verse. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." My name is Kirk Cooper. I am the youth minister here at Trinity Church. And again, I want to welcome you in the name of the Lord. We're happy to have you with us, whether this is your first visit or your 101st visit. We are in the middle of a series on the Lord's Prayer, and we have arrived at the third petition, which says, "Your will be done," or "Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." This morning, as we look at this short little section of a prayer, this one petition, I want to do something very simple. First, I want to define our terms. When we pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," what does that mean? Right? And then I want to ask a question I try to ask at the end of every sermon, which is, so what? What does this have to do with our lives? I want to take just a moment and say thank you to this church, because over the last couple of weeks, I've received a ton of encouragement from people, and I've tried my best to respond to all of it, although I haven't. And I'm just taking a point of personal privilege right now to say thank y'all for that. With that said, let's turn our attention to God's Word. Thy will be done. What is God's will? What do we mean when we pray, "God, we want your will to be done"? Well, it actually can mean two different things. Jesus uses it in two different ways. What are those ways? First, there is God's sovereign will, or God's plan as opposed to our plan. Not God's will for my life, but simply God's will. What is God's will? Jesus uses it like this twice. In Matthew 18, he says, "It is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Talking, those little ones are us, believers, right? It's not the will, it's not in God's plan that any of those who call on Christ should perish. He uses it in the passage that we read from Matthew 26 in the Garden of Gethsemane. "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." So, in that sense, when we say, "Lord, thy will be done," we are praying this. We are saying, "Lord, Father, enact your sovereign plan and let us be a part of it. Let us be a part of that sovereign plan. Do what you plan to do." But God's will doesn't just mean his sovereign plan. In fact, it would seem kind of pointless to pray that anyway. If he truly is sovereign, he doesn't need us to remind him that he's going to do what he wants to do. Also, There's another way to understand God's will, and that's called God's moral will. God's moral will are His commands. His commands as opposed to our behavior. What has God commanded? And Jesus uses the phrase, the will of the Father or the Father's will, several times in that context as well. Christ on who will be saved, He says in Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. In Matthew 12, someone asked Him, it was talking about His family, about Jesus' family to Him. And He replied, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out His hand toward His disciples, He said, here are my mothers and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. That's Matthew 12:50. And finally, the passage that we read at the beginning in Matthew 21, He asked the Pharisees about who did the Father's will. Two sons are asked to work. One son says, I won't, but does. One son says, I will, but doesn't. Which one does the Father's will? Obviously, the first one is the one, and they answer that correctly. But again, this is God's moral will. This is what He commands for us to do, right? So when we pray, in that sense, when we pray, Lord, Thy will be done, what we're saying is, Father, by Your Spirit's work in our lives, help us to live inside Your will and follow Your commands. We cannot break the first part of God's will. We can't thwart God's sovereign plan. No one can. No one can. But we can violate God's will by sinning, the second part. But we are praying both things when we pray, Lord, Thy will be done. Now, what about, it's a quick sermon, we're already 3.1. Number two, what about on earth as it is in heaven? When we pray, Lord, Thy will be done, we're praying for God to enact His sovereign plan, and we're also praying that we would live inside His will and submit ourselves to His will and do as He commanded and live as how He has prescribed us to live. But why this tag at the end, on earth as it is in heaven? Many people say that this applies to both the second and third petition. Lord, Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, and also Lord, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that certainly is true. But there are two ways to understand what this means. There is an ethical interpretation, the best start with E, ethical interpretation, and an eschatological interpretation. And if you've never heard that word before, don't worry. We're gonna try to simplify that in just a second. What is it to pray, Lord, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? It is a prayer of personal submission to God. There is a very famous theologian and thinker named Soren Kierkegaard. His O, the O in Soren has a slash through it, so you know he's not from America. He says this. He says, the function of prayer is not to influence God. Now, the function of prayer, rather, is to change the nature of the one who prays. So when we pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we are asking God to change our wills, to mold our wills to His will. Now, when I was a child, I thought, you know, you've got the Ten Commandments, right? And the first several are about God, and the rest are about how we interact with each other. And one of the commandments is, thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain, right? Now, when I was a child, I assumed what that meant is that you shouldn't say Jesus as an explanation, or OMG, or oh my God. You shouldn't say those things when something crazy happens. That's what it means. Or a couple of other ways in which you could. But it was all about like a sequence of words. That is how you take the Lord's name in vain. Now, that may or may not be true. That's certainly, I would say those are not recommended. If you read the Bible, God's name is pretty serious, and we shouldn't be invoking it in non-serious situations. So that's certainly true. But really, we probably come the closest to violating the third commandment every Sunday morning here, when we, without thinking, say the Apostles' Creed, say we'll die for the Apostles' Creed, or when we pray the Lord's Prayer, and because we have those things memorized, I have them memorized too. I always read them because I'm talking into a microphone and you guys aren't. So if I make a mistake, y'all will notice and I'll hear about it from someone on staff. But we have those things memorized, and if we're not careful, we can just say those things and not really mean it. Right? And this is where the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, where we have to watch ourselves when we pray. Because what are we praying when we pray, Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? What are we saying when we pray, Lord, Father, align my will with your will? We're saying this. We're saying, not my way, but your way. And I'm going to be honest for a second. I like my way. I'm often wrong, but always sure. Maybe that's true for you too. There's a spider right here. All right. Did not expect that, but, he's definitely going to do it my way. Anyway, I like my way. I like my way. And I'm going to be honest. And I think we should all be honest here. Oftentimes when I pray, Lord, thy will be done, it just rolls off my tongue and I don't really realize what I'm praying. I'm saying, Lord, change my mind. Make me more like you. Correct me. Rebuke me. Discipline me. Do it the way you want, not the way I want. So there is an ethical interpretation of on earth as it is in heaven, because in heaven, everything is done the way God wants. The angels sing his praises. Everything is done to his glory. No one is getting their way besides God, and everyone is pleased in that way. And so we ought to be careful when we pray this, that we're not being dishonest in our hearts. Have the attitude of Gethsemane, which is, Lord, not my will, but your will. Change my mind. When I disagree with you, when I don't like what you have to say, change my mind. That is not popular right now. That may be the least popular thing about Christianity right now. If I don't like something, if I don't like the way it feels to me, if it doesn't appeal to my rationality or my emotions, well, then that can't be right. I'm going to create God in my own image. I would like God to be like this, or I can't trust a God who would ever do this or that. That is not what this prayer says. This prayer says, Lord, take my will and mold it. Make me a piece of clay in your hands. So that's the ethical interpretation, and that's certainly true, but there's also the eschatological interpretation. Now, eschatology is the study of the end, right? And so you're going to hear that word a lot if you start reading Revelation, okay? You're going to hear, if you listen to sermons on Revelation, you're going to hear about the end. And we can't help but, this is probably the simpler understanding of on earth as it is in heaven. We are praying when we say, Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're praying, Lord, usher in the new heavens and the new earth. Pull the curtain back and make everything that's wrong right. Now, this is a hard prayer to pray, too. Okay? Well, a fun thing to do is if you're with a group of high school students to say, junior high students are even better. With a group of junior high students, you can say, how many of you want Jesus to come back today? Now, because you're the minister and you ask that question, all of them will raise their hand and they will say yes. It's like, but how many of you, then you say this, how many of you who are raising your hand right now would like for him to wait until you get your driver's license before he comes back? Or before you get married? Or before you have kids? or before you have this or that, or you get to do this or that, see Europe or, you know, whatever it is. See, we pray and ask for God to end this world and to bring in a new one. But oftentimes we don't even mean it. And you know why we don't mean it? You know why? That's a natural thing. The reason I can say that to the students is because that's what I thought too. Right? The reason why we have that hesitation is because we are operating under a false assumption that any of those things I listed could possibly be as good as what Jesus is bringing when he comes back. They are good. They are a shadow, a taste. But do you, as cool as it was to get those keys for the first time, that will not, it is laughable to compare it to what Jesus is bringing when he comes back. And we forget this because Jesus, Christ does not move on our schedule, but he is coming back. And when he comes back, he's not coming back halfway. He's coming back all the way. And everything that's wrong and every tear that's been shed and everything is going to be made right. And we have trouble believing that that's true, and we have trouble believing how good it's going to be. And so we're kind of scared to pray that prayer. But I want to tell you, God's word is sure. He's coming back, and when he comes back, it's going to be amazing. And the beauty of it is that we're going to get to take part in that. And it's not just going to be us, people from Montgomery or Alabama or the South or the United States or North America or the Western Hemisphere or the world. It's going to be everyone who's ever lived who's in Christ. We're going to be together. And it's not going to be in a different place. It's going to be this place made new. It's not I'm making all new things. I'm making all things new. So when we pray that prayer, that's what we're praying for. Lord, make all things new. Bring this world and its sadness to a close and let us be with you. We're praying both in both instances. We're praying that God's will would be done, his sovereign plan. And we're also praying that God's moral will would be followed. We're praying that ethical interpretation. We're praying that we would be in submission to God, that we would live in submission to God right now. But we're also praying that God would bring about his second coming, that Jesus would come again. So we're praying for both. When we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're praying for both. Okay, we may have learned a thing or two, or maybe not, I don't know. But so what? So what? Okay, you know, you may have never even prayed the Lord's Prayer before. And we pray it here every week, but you may have never even prayed it. Here's the question that we need to ask, or that I've been asking myself as I've been thinking about this sermon. How do I pray this and mean it? When I was in college, I heard a girl pray. She said, "Lord, help us mean our own prayers." That's the first time I'd ever heard something like that. I thought to myself, do I not mean everything I pray? And then I thought, wait a second, I don't mean everything I pray. I often pray for things that, and I'm not sure I really mean it. So how do I mean it? How do we mean this? Well, in order to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, the first thing that has to happen is we have to trust God. We have to trust God's will. We have to trust him. And we especially have to pray this, and we have to trust him when things are not going the way that we expected. Now, when things are great, right? When things are great at a wedding, it's easy to pray this, right? Look at what God has done, God's will. Harder at a funeral, right? Harder when you get a bad diagnosis. Harder to say, Lord, thy will be done when you lose your job. Or when your child rejects you or rejects the faith. Or when your parents begin, or you begin to lose your memory. harder to pray it, right? See, when that happens, we have to trust God. And if you don't trust God, you can't really pray this and mean it. Well, how do we do that? Jesus tells a story about two sons. Every time there's a story about two sons in the Bible, my ears perk up because I have two sons. The first son is a ne'er-do-well who lives a wild and licentious life and finally comes to his senses and comes back to his father. He wants to come back on his own terms and be a servant. And instead, what he finds is a father running out to meet him and grabbing hold of him and putting the best robe on him and the ring. And these are all things that we don't necessarily do, but just signs that he is back home and that he was always a son and he'll always be a son. And if that's your story, if you had like a radical conversion, if you were in like the Hell's Angels bikers gang and now you're, you know, a deacon in the church, you know, it's probably a little easier for you to pray, "Thy will be done." You're like, right? But then there's that second son, the older son. And that second son is not a ne'er-do-well. He's been pretty good. And he didn't leave and do wild stuff. And he obeyed. And when that younger son comes back, that second son does not understand what his father is doing. He doesn't understand. And he's upset about it. And he won't go into the party. And when his son comes out to meet, and his father comes out to meet the son is ready with his resume of all the things he's done and all the ways he's been a good son. And the father doesn't say, "You know what? Look at this bad attitude that you have. This proves that you were never really my son. You should get out of here. You don't belong to me." He doesn't say that. If you are an older brother in here, and I've imagined in the PCA we have a lot of them, do you know what the father says to him when he doesn't understand? I've read this so many, I've cried three times reading this. I'm not going to cry this time. Instead, the father says to this son who doesn't like his will, he says, "You are always with me, and all that is mine is yours." And you know what you need to hear in order to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," and mean it? Is you need to hear God look you in the eye and say, "You are always with me. And all that I have is yours. Everything." What we're about to do right over here is a reminder that we can trust him and we can trust his will. The proof that his will is good for us is that he came and he lived and he died and he bore God's wrath and he was raised again as the first fruits, as our hope, that we've been born again to a living hope, that we can trust his will, that you can trust his will, even when things are hard. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word because your word is truth. Lord, sanctify us in your truth. Lord, we operate under the delusion that we are in control much of the time. Lord, we are used, many of us are used to getting things our way. Lord, help us to love your will, to live in submission to your will, not because of your power and our weakness, but because of your great love for us. that you are always with us. And everything you have is ours. We pray this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.